Good morning, everybody. Good morning, church. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
There we go. What does that even mean? What does it mean to say good morning to the church? We're going to talk about that today. So what we're going to cover today, first of all, I was thinking about just diving right in on the topic of what is the church, but I thought a little bit more deeply about it. I thought, well, some people don't go to church. And why don't they go to church? Some Christians don't go to church, and why don't they go to church? And so I want to talk about that first, and then we're going to talk about what are the biblical and practical reasons to go to church. And then we're going to look at what exactly is the church and who is part of the church. And then finally, I'm really excited about this last part. We're going to talk about a miraculous story of the impact of this church and what a miracle that happened as a result of some of the things that we have done in this church. So I'm excited to share that with you here at the end. So why don't people choose to go to church? In the research, it turns out that some churches are unwelcoming, and the messages or what's happening within the doors seems to be irrelevant to the people that walk through those doors. Or maybe the church is too focused on money. And as I thought about this, I thought, those are good reasons to not go to church. They are legitimate reasons. If you show up to a building that we're calling the church and it feels unwelcoming, I don't want to return. And if we go and it's too focused on money, they're just trying to pull money out of your pocket, then I don't want to go there either. And if what they're talking about up here or what they're talking about in the fellowship hall or small groups doesn't really strike a chord in your life, I don't want to be a part of that community either. The beautiful thing about this church is raise your hand if you think this church is welcoming, right? If you're not raising your hand, raise your hand. This church is welcoming. So we can overcome that as a church, and the body of Christ can overcome that. We can be welcoming. And I would say when I walk into the fellowship hall and when I hear what's said up front and I hear the conversations around the room, they are relevant. What people are talking about, what's going on in people's lives is being shared, discussed, and people are being helped and ministered to. That's relevant, and that's what the body of Christ is for. That's what the church is for. And do we focus too much on money? No, sometimes I think we don't focus enough on money. But in general, these are things that we as a body can overcome these objections. And I want us to all kind of remember that and realize that. The second key reasons that people don't go to church is it's inconvenient. Sometimes people can't go because of health issues. Or maybe it's a location challenge. Is it inconvenient because maybe they're sick? Or if you think about it, I'm going to give up an hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours of my Sunday when I could be gardening, when I could be napping, when there's a lot of things I could be doing. And for some people, that's really important. That's a big deal. So for those folks, it's true. It is inconvenient. And for some, they have health challenges that make it not possible to show up into and through the doors of a church. That's true. And we have to take that into consideration. Now, in Linden, location can't be a problem. We've got like 5,700 churches here, so location's not a problem. But it can be for others. If they live out far away and they have to drive an hour to go to church or whatever, these can all be true. But we can overcome these as well. There's a video recording me right now, so if it's difficult to leave your home, you can watch this on YouTube. And we can bring the church to people. We can show up at their doorstep with meals. We can show up through small groups. We can show up at a meal together with them and bring church to them. It doesn't have to be in this container that we call a church building. And of course, if someone has health issues, we can pray for them. We can bring the church to them by praying for them. And of course, if they need a ride, we can give them a ride. I know there's some people here that consistently get rides from other members of this church. These things can be overcome, and I know that we have overcome them as a congregation, and that's beautiful. And then lastly, negative past experiences, hypocrisy, and judgment. And I don't want to slide past these because these are 100% true, and they get in the way for sure. People have had horrible experiences with churches, and I do not want to dismiss that at all. And they've experienced the hypocrisy of other believers, and that sucks. Sorry to use bad language, but that does. It's a horrible thing. And they've been judged. And unfortunately, I've been a hypocrite. And unfortunately, I've been judgmental myself. But the beauty of the church is forgiveness. The beauty of the church is that we can overcome those past experiences by loving on those people, being present with them, and giving them new experiences, different experiences that allows them to experience the church in a new way without the hypocrisy, without the judgment. Right? So for me, what I want you guys to hear here is these are legitimate reasons that people don't go to church. And they do matter, but we can do something about it as a body of Christ. And that's absolutely wonderful. But why go to church? Okay, if these are all the reasons that it's difficult to make it to the building that is church, why go to church? Well, in Hebrews, we read in the Bible in Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, it says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." God wants us to meet together. It doesn't say to go to a church building, but to meet together in all kinds of different contexts. And we're going to take a look at that in a minute here. To spur one another on. And what are we spurring one another on to? Love and good deeds. And love goes first in this message, in this passage, right? Love, then good deeds, because they come out of that love. And we're not going to give up meeting together, even if it's hard to meet together, even if all those things that I just went through are in the way of meeting together. We're going to overcome those things because God wants us to still continue to meet together. And as we do that, we're going to encourage one another. And of course, that's going to draw us closer to Christ, closer together. And it's all the more important as the day that Jesus returns gets closer and closer, because there's less and less time for us to draw people that don't know him to come and be a part of the body of Christ. Why go to church? I like research. It's fun to research about what's going on in the world and the impact that church can have and the impact of all kinds of things in our lives. And what I found is there's a correlation between going to church and how long you live and your physical health. Isn't that pretty cool? You invite someone to church and you're going to give them a longer life and better physical health in some instances. That's pretty powerful. Another is we get improved mental health when we show up at church. As a result of the community we interact with. I don't know for you guys, but I only cried a couple times during the music this morning. But for me, singing together with this group is a beautiful thing. And that helps my mind in tremendous ways to have that beautiful experience of worshiping with you. Right? That improves my health, my mindset, your guys' health, and your mindset. And the next is stronger social networks. And we're not talking about Facebook and TikTok networks. We're not talking about getting a million followers. We're talking about the one-to-one interactions that you have with each other within the church, within small groups and other contexts. When we go to church, we get the opportunity to broaden our social networks and experience people in deeper ways. And then as a result of these things, because we have a bigger community and we have deeper relationships, we start to give back to our community in powerful ways through volunteering and various other ways that we contribute to our community. So very practically, those bottom four are why to go to church. And then at the top, why to go to church? Because God tells us to. And for us, that needs to be enough. He tells us to, and so we are obedient to him. So we're going to get to the root of this. What is the church? We all have thoughts on what the church is, and I think most of us know the answer to this question, but I want to challenge you a little bit. Is this the church? Let's imagine this is a restaurant, and you're sitting with some friends, or this is just some strangers you don't know, and they're sitting hanging out and having a meal together. Is that the church? How about this? Traditionally, we understand that this, a building that looks like that, is the church. How about this? This lady is giving bread to some folks that looks like they may need that bread. Might be a mission situation. Is that the church? How about a family in their backyard taking a picture? They have a photographer come by and they take this joyous picture. Is that the church? What about a Seahawks football game? We got a fan right over here. Is that the church? I have a hard time with this as a Niners fan, so just we'll see. How about a board meeting? Is that the church? We're going to answer that question together. So the passage for today that I want to mainly focus on is in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27. So we're going to touch on most of the verses in there. So if you want to open your Bible to that, and we're going to go, we'll go ahead and I'm not going to actually have you stand because I'm going to read it just a little bit by a little bit. But go ahead and open to that passage. Ooh, that's small, sorry. The first verse I want to focus on is in 12, and it says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ." So very simply, There are many parts in the body, arms, legs, eyes, ears, nose, etc., but it forms one body, and the same is true of us as believers. So the church is one body through Christ. Christ is the head of the church, and he makes us one body, even though we are many parts, many people, but one body. Next we read, "For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink." So I spent about 2 hours on this verse because it's beautiful to me. It's fantastic. There's a lot of things happening in here. "For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body," once again reemphasizing that there's many of us, but we're one body in Christ. And because of the Holy Spirit, that's possible. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, everyone, regardless of where they're from, where they live, how long they've been a Christian, their past experiences, what their dreams are, they are all part of the body. We are all part of the body. It doesn't matter what part of the world you live in, what experiences you've had. And then also in here it says, "One Spirit to drink." And I was like, what in the world? You drink this? What does this even mean? And so I looked into it a little bit more. And it made me start to think about what's the rest of the verse before it, which says we're all baptized. And when we think of baptism, this is symbolic raising yourself from death to life, right? And that's water. And I thought, okay, what's going on with drinking this? And I thought, and so I did some research on water, and I was just looking it all up. And what I found really amazing and beautiful is when we drink water, it obviously goes into our bodies, through our stomachs, into our intestines, and then it goes into our bloodstream. And then it goes throughout the rest of our body and helps the rest of our body. And eventually it actually supports our very DNA. So as I prayed about this, there's this metaphor of the Spirit is so deeply and fully integrated into us that it is in every aspect of our lives, every aspect of ourself. And I thought that that was absolutely beautiful. And if you think about, I wanted to bring a big jug of water and some food coloring, but ran out of time. But if you imagine there's a big jug of water here, and I've got some food coloring, when I squirt the food coloring in there, what happens to the water?
Changes.
It's going to change, right? Very much so, that's what happens to the body of Christ because of the Spirit in all of us. It changes all of us fully and completely and thoroughly. Not one part of us is not touched by the Holy Spirit. Every aspect of who we are as a body, as a whole group of believers, and as who we are as individuals, every aspect of us is touched by the Spirit and changed. And that, to me, is absolutely magnificent. So the Holy Spirit unites all believers. Doesn't matter where you're from, what your experiences are, what you've been through, the Holy Spirit brings us together as one body. Even so, the body is not made of one part, but of many. So we know this. But what are those many parts have many different roles. Now, if the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? First time I read this, preparing for this, I saw this giant human as an eye, and it was the quirkiest, weirdest looking image. My mind is so visual that I just went straight there, and it's very humorous to me. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Okay, let me just break this down simply. We all play a role in the body of Christ. And sometimes that role is really prominent and obvious. And I think recently with the death of Charlie Kirk, we saw that there was someone that played a very prominent role that was on display to the world. But there was thousands of people that were praying for him that played a very small role, at least visibly, in the ministry that he was doing. And there's everything in between. And there's seasons. There's times when my role, where I get to be up here, where it's a little bit more obvious role that I'm playing. And then there's other times where I have these little tiny roles and nobody has any idea. But every single thing that I am doing, every part I play matters, and every part that you play matters. And at the end of this message, I'm going to share exactly why, and it's a beautiful story of how every one of you contributed to a miracle in one woman's life. And I'm super excited. excited to tell, to share that story with you. I'm going to reread verse 18. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. God has created you, designed you, gifted you exactly how he wants to gift you. And he wants you to use those gifts. And you have been using those gifts. And that is why the church works. So let's talk about those gifts. That's really small. It's big on my screen at home, so I apologize. The body of Christ. So I was thinking about, what are the gifts? And these are just some of very, very many gifts. But if it's the eye, you might have the gift of discernment. You see things and have wisdom and understand things that, in ways that other people don't. And that's a gift that you have to offer to the body. Or maybe it's your ear, and you hear what people have to say and you care deeply about them and you're able to counsel them and do it with beautiful empathy and touch their lives and hearts in ways that impacts them. Or maybe you have the gift of teaching and you share the gospel, you share the truth with other people in a way that hits people's hearts. Or maybe you have a heart for encouragement. And it's so easy for you to show up in a room and just be an encouragement to people in that room. Or maybe you love to serve. You love to take action and serve in a physical way. Or maybe you want to go to another country, or you want to go out in the city and speak the truth of the gospel to those around you. And then there's probably 100 more other gifts, large and small, that the body of Christ has and each of you have in the way that God has designed you to have. And I find that so encouraging, because I am not someone that is great at all of those things, that's for sure. Evangelism, though it's exciting and I've done it, that's not my gift. Teaching, I'm up here, but I don't know if that's my gift. I love to serve, I love to pray. Those are my gifts. But each of you, if you think about the things that you love to do, God has given you those to give back to the church. So each part has its own meaningful gift and purpose. And of course, that part is you. You have your own meaningful gift and purpose. So then we finish up with 1 Corinthians 12, 25 to 27 that says, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. Do you remember the last time something really exciting happened in your life and you told a friend? You're like, oh, I got a job, or this opportunity came up for me, or various things happened in your life. I remember when I got the job that I have now, that's been a year, believe it or not, which is crazy to me. But I remember telling people about it, and everybody was so stoked for me. They saw something in it more or beyond what I even saw in it. I was excited, but they just knew it was this beautiful and perfect fit. That was so incredibly encouraging to me, because it was scary transitioning from what I was doing to this other business and doing something similar, but bigger asks of me and bigger requirements of me. And so they celebrated it with me. That was wonderful. And if you've had loss in your life, you know you've had those brothers and sisters come around you and support you, pray for you, encourage you, and help you. That's what the body of Christ is about. As well. So no division. If we are one body, just like the whole passage says in there, we can't remove a part. Even if it's not doing well, even if it's not healthy, we want to support that part. Our bodies, our biology, when we get sick, what happens? Our body starts to take care of itself and starts to take care of itself in a way to repair the damage that's been done, to help us to recover from whatever is going on with us. And the same is true for the body of Christ. As things happen in our lives, we come alongside one another and support each other. So I broke it down this way. At the foundation is the Holy Spirit unites us with Christ as the head. And we are all needed in the family of Christ. We are all the bride of Christ because he loves us and he died for us. And then as a result of all those things, we have the love of Christ in us, which allows us to love one another and love him. But it's rooted fundamentally in the Holy Spirit and Christ being the head of the church. I know the rest of it's pretty tough to see. If you want some passages beyond these, those are four of the passages that really jumped out to me. So let's go back to those pictures again. What is the church? Is this the church? What do you guys think? Could that be the church? How come? Fellowship, right? It's intention. If these people went to dinner together in a house or restaurant or whatever, and the intention is to have fellowship together and honor Christ in their meeting together, like it says in Hebrews, that's the church, right? How about this? Is this the church? This is what we traditionally think of. And as I'm asking these questions, I want us to be thinking about this is a container in which the body is. Right? It's not the church itself. It's the container in which the body, which is us, which is the actual church, just happens to be. So the church is mobile, which is wonderful. How about this? Could this be the church? Right? I mean, how many missions are out there that are serving people food and taking care of their needs? That's such it's the service of the hands, right? Like that image shows, serving people in beautiful ways. How about this? The backyard of your own house. Could that be the church? What do we think? Yes? No, I see nods. Good. It is. It can be when Christ is the head of your family and he is the center of what you're focused on. Your family is part of the body of Christ, right? How about football stadiums? Could a football stadium be the church when you're watching a football game? What do we think? Yes? No? It could be, right? If you and your friends are going to a football game and your intention is to honor God, your intention is to show up and have a wonderful fellowship together and cheer for your favorite team, and you're honoring God in this, and you're doing it in a way that represents the Spirit, that can be the community, the body coming together, and that's church. Now, I'm not saying these things replace the building of church and the Sunday of church, but I am saying church can happen in so many different places. What about business? Can business be church? What do we think? Of course. I mean, if you consider school a place where business occurs, I guess. I mean, there's people that are employed, so it is business in a way. I'll tell you what, my kids go to a church. Oh, man, I'm going to cry. Okay. they go to a church. It is absolutely magnificent, the community that is there, the body of Christ that is taking care of my children. It's absolutely beautiful. That's the church, and I'm proud to put my kids in that school. I'm proud to bring my kids to this building, this container that we call church, because I know they're getting fed. Even if she's looking down and coloring, I know she's being fed and loved on and encouraged. I work for a business that has Christ at the center, Christ at the head of the business. And most meetings, not every one of them, but most meetings we pray beforehand. And some of the people that hear us pray aren't believers. Every day that I go to work, I have this opportunity to speak the truth to my clients. And I do that in a very simple way. I ask them if I can pray for them. And I do. And I have the other believers on the team with me that are part of that body that helps me support those clients. And so we are the church to those clients, whether they believe or not. That is the beauty of the unity of the body of Christ. So I want to bring it home to everybody as we wrap up here. How has this local church been the body and family of Christ? How many of you know the Demo family? Does that sound familiar to you? Demo, Eddie, Bonna, Zion, and Noel? A couple people? Okay. So they came here about 2 years ago, and Eddie gave a presentation. They are from Albania, and I met them when I went on a missions trip there in my 20s. And I've been in contact with them for about 20 years. And been praying for them, watching their ministry grow, watching them go through life experiences, and it's been really beautiful. And he reached out to me via email some time ago, 2 years ago or so, and said, hey, we're doing a tour of the Western U.S. to see if we can raise support for a ministry. Their ministry is to serve Muslims in Turkey and Macedonia and I think a couple other places. And they're reaching the lost Muslim world for Christ, and people are getting saved like crazy. It is amazing. And they're building churches, and those churches are getting supported financially in these unbelievable ways. If you're not following their newsletter, I highly encourage you to do it, because there's really amazing things that the body of Christ is doing through their ministry. But we as a church have done something really amazing for them as well. And whether you were directly a part of this or not, you did play a role, because the sound working for me, the screen changing here plays a role. The building being clean and taken care of, the food that we eat, the conversations that we have, that all played a role in making it possible for Eddie to come here and share his message, for then those that heard the message to pray for him and financially support him in the ministry. That all those little things matter. And so I want you to know that even if you don't have any clue who this family is, your role in being at this church has made an impact. I want to share a story with you all about a journey the Demo family has been on, a story of fear, faith, and incredible grace. It all began with some frightening news. After a routine checkup, Bonna, which is Eddie's wife, discovered that Bonna's only kidney was shutting down. She was born with just one kidney. The doctors told them she needed a transplant and she needed it urgently. So this, if I remember correctly, is like 30 days. It was really, really dire. As you can imagine, their world felt like it was flipped upside down. They were facing enormous expenses and the daunting task of finding a donor. So just to remind you, this family lives in Albania. Their ministry is in Albania. They're rooted in Albania. But they weren't going to be able to get the support they needed there. So the support they got was between Cedars-Sinai and a hospital in Italy. Right? That's how this all came together. The doctors told her she needed a transplant and she needed it urgently. As you can imagine, oh, I read that. They were facing enormous expenses and the daunting task of finding a donor. They felt overwhelmed, but through the fear, God's grace shone through and he surrounded them with you, the beloved family in Christ, the family of Christ. So let me pause for a second. If you're still not sure who these people are, that's okay, because we're all united in Christ together anyway. You don't even have to have met these people to know that they are in your family of Christ, even though they're in Albania. And that's what I love so much about this story. The family of Christ so lovingly and faithfully stood right alongside them. And then something amazing happened. When the call went out for a donor, it wasn't just one or two people who stepped forward, but 54 Christian brothers and sisters from around the world offered to get tested. And that shocked the entire hospital team. These people were willing, 54 people were willing to give up their kidney for this woman that they, in most cases, probably had never met. That's a big role. That's a big part, right? It's beautiful. But I imagine there was people around them that were praying for them. They were playing a small part that mattered in supporting them to go and get tested. The doctors told them they were amazed to see so much love in action. Ultimately, God had already prepared the perfect match, a precious, beloved sister in Christ from Oregon, Teresa. Teresa and Bonna had never met. They didn't know each other at all. But she was willing to sacrifice her kidney, and who knows what else that means for her life. She didn't know. So that Bonna could live. She selflessly offered to donate her kidney to Bonna. By God's grace, the transplant was a success. Both Bonna and Teresa came out of the surgery room safely. Today, Bonna is stable and Teresa is healthy. Praise the Lord. Unbelievable. There's more. But the miracles didn't stop there. They were worried about the cost. So this is all happening, right? We're having to pay for this as we go along. But God provided in a way they could never have imagined, through the sacrificial giving of over 1,500 brothers and sisters. Right? That's the body of Christ coming together, friends. A total of approximately $1.1 million was raised in a 15 to 18 month period. I don't remember the exact time period. That incredible provision made it possible to open the door so that those 54 people could get tested for free. And it covered the selfless donation for Teresa, from Teresa, right? So that whole surgery was covered. The hospital stays at Cedars-Sinai. In addition to this, there was a man in LA that gave them a place to live for an entire year. For free. The body of Christ at work. Unbelievable. And of course, all of it was wrapped in thousands of prayers and encouragement along the way. The journey has been surreal for the Demo family. It was a tough pill to swallow, but the Lord embraced them and gave them a taste of what heaven on earth is like. Seeing the body of Christ come together in such a powerful way. Words can't truly express their gratitude to God for how perfectly he has woven everything together and for the immense love they have received from the family of Christ. As they move forward, they kindly ask that you continue to keep Bonna and Teresa in your prayers, that they remain stable and strong, and that Bonna's body does not reject this precious gift. And they say to you, thank you for being the hands and feet of Jesus to our family. We are so incredibly blessed. Amen. That's just fantastic. And there's thousands and thousands of stories in this room of things like this happening. And we don't even know we're a part of it. Your prayers, you know, there's this, I love this phrase from Gladiator. It said this in the last message. Your life echoes in eternity, right? And our prayers echo in eternity. And they matter and they make a difference. Our actions matter, they echo in eternity. Even the littlest of thing that you do that doesn't seem that impactful or meaningful, it matters because it's part of the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit multiplies that in unbelievable ways. So if this story is super inspiring to you, amen. If it feels a little intimidating because it's such a big thing, if you don't, you're like, I'm not Teresa. I'm not going to do that. Wait. God moves in amazing ways. And maybe you never will need to be that Teresa. But there's so many things that you're going to get to be and you have been. And I don't want you to discount those things because I know God doesn't discount them. He remembers them and they matter. So what do we learn today? We can play a role in helping people join the family of Christ. So there's a lot of reasons why people don't come to church, and they are legitimate reasons, but they are easily overcome through our love, through our unity, and through grace. God desires that we live, that we be in fellowship, and it's good for us. It's healthy for us. There's practical, positive things that happen when you show up at church. Show up in community as a body. The church is one body united in the Holy Spirit. And our gifts and contributions to the family of Christ matter. Even if you never know the impact that it'll have, it matters. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll have the band start. Father, thank you for your Spirit. Thank you that you are the head of the church of Christ. And that you've gifted every one of us in innumerable ways to impact your body, the people that don't know you yet, and ultimately your kingdom. I pray everybody in this room is touched by your Spirit today in a powerful way to help them know that they have contributed to your body in a way that matters, and they will continue to get that opportunity and privilege, and that's a beautiful thing. I pray that you would remind them of the gifts that you've given them, and they would feel deeply connected to this body in this room and also beyond these doors. Help us to make church happen everywhere we are, God, because it can be, because you make it possible through your body and your body of believers. So thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share your truth, and I ask that you would speak directly to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.